Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was seen. Paul said, he was seen of me. He knocked me off my beast. I was riding, going to do what I thought was right. And then God had to stop me in my tracks. Sometimes we think that we are right about stuff. But God stop us in our tracks. And he'll show us what is right. Oh, we'll begin to see the light. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He'll get us off our high horse so that we can see who he really is. Let's go on. Let me try to get through. Verse 20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. For since by that man came death, but by man came also the resurrection of the dead. He begins to tell us about the power of the resurrection. We had the person, and then we had the products, and now we have the power of the resurrection. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ. He says here, now what is Paul saying? He says that that Christ rose from the dead. He said, and by one man sin came into the world. One man, death, came into the world. How did that happen? Well, it happened because Adam was the one that ate from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Bible said that when Eve ate, she was deceived. It was all right. She was deceived because Satan deceived her. But when Adam ate, he did it willfully. He said, I know what this is going to do. I know that this is something God said don't do. I know for I'm not deceived by the devil, but I took it and ate it anyway. And so since Adam ate, death began to come into human beings. So everything that was born of the flesh of Adam, death was passed down from generation to generation. So man could not live forever, although man, when God created him, he created him and intended for him to live forever. But because of what Adam did, that one choice that Adam made, it caused us to die. Now, don't get down on Adam because Adam ate of the fruit, and he did it willfully. There was a reason why he did it. He looked at Eve when she did it, when she ate of the fruit, and he said, you know, my wife is going to die, so I want to be with my wife. God is going to kill my wife for this because she sinned, and so I want to be with my wife. I want to protect my wife, the same thing that Jesus did. He said, I'm going to take sin because of the bride, my wife, the bride, the church. I want to die for them. And so Adam said, I want to die for my wife because I love her so much. So don't get down on Adam when you talk about him doing what he did. But Adam was trying to be the Savior, but he was doing it out of his flesh and not doing it out of the Spirit. I wish I had somebody. That's why when Adam is the first Adam, and then you talk about Jesus being the what? Last Adam. He's the last one. He's the Adam that came and really was the Savior of the world. That's why Jesus could not be born of the man seed, but he had to be born of the godly seed so that death would not be passed down to him. Amen. So that he could defeat death. And so here it is that Jesus was risen from the dead, and the Bible said he becomes the what? First fruit. Now, I told you about the Passover lamb and how they took the lamb and put on the doorpost. But then when Jesus becomes the first fruit, let me tell you what that means. This today is what we call Resurrection Sunday. It is also known as the sheaf of first fruits in the feast. And what does that mean? That means that what would happen on this day, they would gather they would go in all the fields and they would gather a sheaf of wheat from the field. And when they would gather it up, they would take that sheaf and they would take it to the priest and they would offer it to him. And he would take it from there and he would offer it to God by baking two loaves of bread, and they would wave it before God and God would accept it. And so what would happen then is that the priest would say, you know what? Your whole field is holy. Even though you only brought a little bit from the field, the whole field is holy. Y'all get this in a minute. Even though I didn't have to come to your field, but you brought what you had to me, and I waved it before God, and God accepted it, so now he accepts your whole field. So your whole field is blessed based off what you brought to me. And so Jesus is the sheaf that went into the presence of God on our behalf, so that now God looks at the field, and if there's anything that didn't grow like it should have in the field, it's still holy. If there's something in the field that you didn't like in the field, guess what? It's still holy. And so what Jesus did, he came from the field. That's why he had to be born and then live in this flesh. He came from the field, went in the presence of God. And now because of him, God looks at you and me. And guess what? God say, you're holy. Oh, yeah, I may not be what you want me to be, but God said I'm holy. I may not be everything you think I ought to be today, but God still says I'm holy. Yeah. I may not be all that you want me to be. I may say some stuff. I may do some stuff that you don't like. But God still looks at me and he deems me
holy.
He's the chief of first fruit. He's the reason why God accepts you. Without him, God would not accept who you are. He does not accept your person except he accepted Jesus Christ and the finished work. Amen. Y'all ready for me to get out of here? So the resurrection, when we talk about the power of the resurrection, the power of the resurrection did something. The power of the resurrection gave us something. The power of the resurrection, let's look a little further. He says he's the first fruit, and then he says that in all Adam all die, and in Christ all shall be made alive. So in Christ, we have to be what? In Christ. We have to be in Christ. Amen. Remember that you have to be in Christ, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit. And so when every man through Adam, we died, but when we became in Christ, every man in his own order, whenever we go, whenever we in our own order, in our own time, in our own purpose, one by one, we go in Christ. And when we pass away from this life, we still have eternal life because we're what? In Christ. And he says that, look, and then come the end, verse 24, and shall be delivered up to the kingdom to God, even the Father, and he shall have put down all rule and authority and all power. So it comes a time that when all of this is taking place, when everything has happened like it was supposed to, like the scripture had said, guess what? He says that all this stuff of the kingdom is going to be given over to God, and all authority and power, everything that thought it had power will be subject to God. Everything that thought it had authority is subject to God. So what did the power?
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul.
I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
KYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, as we prepare to hear your word, pray that the Holy Spirit will meet us in the text and tell her the truth we're teaching today, that he would unfold and disclose matters that we need to know to help us grow, to do what you've called us to do and to be who you've called us to be. And God, will be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God said amen. I said the people of God said amen. Amen. God bless you. I've been preaching out of the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 6, all day, and shall do no differently at 11. Turn, if you will, Proverbs, chapter 22. Verse 6, recorded are these words: train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. I want to talk about training up a child 101. I want us to understand certain things about this verse as we have heard it recited, as we have read it, as we studied it. But I want to make sure that we understand the profundity of this verse and how it brings to focus what God's desire is for the parents, step-parents, godparents, grandparents, guardians, foster parents, and the like, whose responsibility is rearing up a child. Not to take it lightly, but to understand that God has vested much in this word so that we can invest much in each child. From a macro view, there are two views I'd like you to look at this. First, it talks about the involvement and the responsibility, for it says train up a child in the way he should go. And then it talks about the investment and returns, for it says, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But there is another view other than the macro view. It is a micro view, which looks a little closer, a little more intently and intensely at the subject matter. It says again, train up. And those words have to do first with discipline and dedication. And as you continue on, you're going to see in the way that he should go has to do with directives and directions. And then when you look a little further, you're going to discover that it has to do with, and when he is old, he will not depart from it, having to do with development and destiny. The first portion of it deals with the foundation and formation of a child's life so as to become filled with principles that they may practice and thus profit from them throughout their entire life. So when you go back through the word and you see train up a child, there's much that's vested in this phrase. First of all, train not only means discipline, but there is something else that I think us need to make the audience aware of, is that it has to do with a relationship between the trainer and the trainee, or the parent and the child. And so what is important to understand also is the fact that if you're going to train, you must already be trained. If you are going to be a trainer, you must know what you are training. In other words, there is another word for this word train, and it is the word that comes from the word we get demonstration from. The trainer must be able to demonstrate what he is or she is training. A good trainer will show you how to do it first and then tell you to do it. They want to make sure that, one, the foundation is right, but then, two, the formation is right. It's not just enough to pick up weights. It's much more than knowing just how much to pick up, but how to pick them up. And a good trainer will show you, lest you hurt yourself grabbing weights, not knowing how you are to position the body to lift or to handle those weights. And so the trainer must be one who knows what he or she is doing. Unfortunately, many who hear this word are not trained in being parents. Don't have information, don't have the inspiration of Scripture to know what God requires of them to be the trainer of their children. And yet, my brothers and sisters, God holds you responsible for the gift of life that He gives you, and He gives you the responsibility of giving it back to Him in a state that will be better after you have trained it than when He gave it to you as a raw surface and a raw material ready to be shaped and formed. You shape the life of your child, whether you know it or not. Because in this word demonstration, what you don't understand is it's not always what you say, but it's what you show. That your children see, that shows them what they ought to be like. In other words, you should be the finished product. They should see you and want to be like you, because you're the trainer and you are worth being emulated. And so therefore, you've got to have your I's dotted, T's crossed. You've got to have everything in place so that you recognize you are a living, viable demonstration for your child to see what they want to be. And so when you talk about training and discipline them, it means that you first have to be that way yourself, and you first have to show the example of that you want them. It's a whole lot easy when a trainer says, this is how you do this, rather than just explaining it to you and not showing you. And then some trainers who are not careful to know their full role say, listen, don't do as I do as I say. The reason they say that is because they don't know how to do it themselves. And it's a whole lot easier to say, do as I say, rather than do as I do. And so it is the trainer's job to say, do as I do, even as I say. And so when you begin to look at this, you'll understand that discipline is so important. Discipline is more than just whipping the child, spanking the child, correcting the child. Discipline has the whole responsibility of giving to that child all things necessary to be complete, as in a discipline of study, giving you all the requirements to complete that study, to understand that study, to actually operate in that study, advance in that study, prosper from that study. It is the whole word of completion.
And that's where the next word, dedication, comes in, because it says train up, which means that the training don't stop till the child has learned. Train up a child. Train up, that phrase is important because dedication is required on both the trainer and the trainee. That the learning does not stop until they have learned. If you haven't learned, then that means something is wrong with the process that has just happened. Either the teacher didn't do his or her part, or the student didn't do his or her part. In either case, it's not a complete training. It's not over till you graduate. Yeah, incompletes don't get you over. No. You've got to have completion, graduation, to move on to the next essence of life. And it says train up a child. When the reference is literally from infancy to adolescence. Here is where the child is more supple, mind is more open. Mind is like a sponge. It receives more knowledge and information. It is suggested that during these years, these formative years, these times when this child's mind is developing, that more goes in and shapes the character and culture of that child than at any other single stage of their lives. Now, what you need to understand is your child is not too young to learn. Think about it. The things you think your child may be too young to learn, look at some of the other stuff they've learned that you didn't teach them. Because see, what you don't understand is if you don't discipline them, they'll get training from other sources, from the television, from the rap music, from videos, from magazines, from the internet, from other people, from friends. Are y'all hearing me here today? You got the understanding their minds are absorbing. They want to know more. They've got to know more. They are open to know more. And all of these avenues will filter in their thought processes on them. And that's where you've got the discipline to let them know what they can and cannot receive. Hear and not hear. Know what's going on in your own house. Know what you're dealing with. Know who they are dealing with. Listen, if you are known by your friends, then you ought to know your children's friends. If you're known by the company you keep, then you ought to check your company. Because if you're embarrassed of your company, something is wrong with the company you keeping. If you got to make excuses for your company, then something is wrong with your company. If your company is out of character, then you have no fellowship with that company, not if you are being reared correctly. Listen, what darkness hath light with dark? What fellowship hath darkness with light? God said that. What fellowship? When light comes in, darkness flees. When light flees, darkness comes. They don't fellowship together. The old folk used to say, oil and water don't mix. They may appear to mix as long as you're shaking it, stirring it, keeping it moving. But the moment you stop, there's a separation between the oil and the water. And sometimes you need to realize, my brothers and sisters, you might be around folk that aren't a good fit for you. And just as soon as you come to yourself, you need to realize, no, I got to change company here. This don't mix here. This is not what I've been taught to deal with. But anyway, moving on, when you realize dedication is so important because it means you don't stop till the job is done. And that's one of the problems we have with children having children. Because they don't realize how having a child changes your life. And it's difficult to remain a child when you got a child. Because now you're thrusted into adulthood and responsibilities that you must take hold of in order to bring about the best possible chance for that newborn life that's now your responsibility. It means then you've got to change courses. Yes, life had planned and dictated for you to go this path and you have fun and you do this and you enjoy that, but you veered off the path. So now choices have made a choice for you. And parents need to teach children how to be responsible for the choices that they make, because when they are not, the law will see to it that they answer. And see, what you don't understand is if you fail to teach responsibility, if you fail to teach authority, if you fail to teach respect in the home, there are some folk outside the home who will gladly teach them. And most times at the cost of your heart hurting. So not only do we look at the fact that there is discipline, demonstration, and dedication, but then when it moves on and it says, train up a child in the way that he should go. He should go. Train up a child in the way that he should go. Directives and directions. What does that really mean? It means based upon this foundation, you start bringing about the formation of that life, teaching them all of the building blocks of life, manners, character, respect, etc. And you take that and all of those principles are woven together into that life, whereas it becomes a part of the fabric of that life where it cannot be separated. They don't turn it on and turn it off. It's a part of them. They've grown up that way. They grow up that way because they're being taught that daily. They have respect. Parents come back and they reinforce those things. Someone said, can I have this? Wait, excuse me, may I have? You come back and you reinforce that. Someone gives them something, they look at you and look like you had to give me that. And your parents say, excuse me, what do you say? Oh, thank you. You reinforce what we've been taught. Now, I train you, but now every opportunity you get to put it in practice shows whether or not you've learned the training or not. And if not, then I reinforce them so that you will get it. Children didn't call old folk by their first name. Man, them old folk be done backslapped you so quick. Psh. Did you say Miss Jerry? I know you didn't call her Jerry, did you? Is she your friend? Oh man, she, you know, you get a whole, she's not your equal. You always say yes ma'am, no ma'am, yes sir, no sir, Mr. Ms. You don't call them older people by their first name. You give them directives, you make sure they understand, you know, listen, you obey, you get rewarded, you disobey, you suffer the consequences. You learn these directives, you do this, this is what happens, you do that, this is what happens. You learn to encourage them, you learn to set them straight, you learn to help them understand what the word is and what comes from this word, how to operate in those things. And then you've come to a point and place where you're able to give them directions. But see, you don't give them directions until you've given them the ability to do whatever it is they're supposed to do when they get to where they're going. Do you know where you're going? Do you know the things that life is showing you? See, one of the things you got to know is, if you know what you're going, if you know where you're going, that's good. But the question comes after that is, do you know what you do when you get there? It's important to have a goal. It's important to have a projection. It's important to know that you are pointed in the right direction. It is the responsibility of the trainer, of the parent, to point their children in the right direction. Children don't know what's best for them. They may think they do, but they don't know what's best for them. They know what feels good, but they don't know what's good for them. And you're the parent, and parents need to stop being their children's friend and be their parents.
I don't know. Can you talk with my child? My child won't listen to me. What? Excuse me? Your child? Or you mean that grown man or grown woman that won't listen to you now? Because if you said a child, then the problem ain't the conversation I need to have with the child. The conversation I need to have is with you. Because a child is